Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I am joined today by Chris Williams and Dr. Henry Cloud. Hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing well. It's great to be here with you guys.
Well, good. Great Henry, are you doing all right?
It's been fun. As you can see, I'm on the road, and there was an issue with the fire alarm, and I walked back in the I'm just on my way back to the chair.
That's perfect. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that we are celebrating this week is the new book, Trust, Knowing When to Give It, When to Withhold It, How to Earn It, and How to Fix It When It Gets Broken in Life and Business. That pretty much covers all of the areas of trust, and we're offering it to for our listeners for a gift of any amount to New Life, and you can give us a call, and we'll send you a copy. We've been talking about it all week, and we've been helping some people. We're taking some calls, and, you know, one of the essentials of trust is character, and, you know, we've talked about some of the other essentials, but Henry, what is the need for character to go beyond morality?
Well, I'm so glad you asked that one, because how many times have we heard somebody say, well, can you trust them? We go, yeah, I can trust them. You know, they wouldn't lie to me, or, you know, they're not going to steal money or whatever. And all they think about in trusting somebody is their, let's call it moral integrity. But how many people have you known that wouldn't lie to you or cheat or steal, but you really wouldn't want to work for them, mm-hmm. right, mm-hmm. because of other aspects of their makeup? Mm. And so trust is contextualized. You know, I often tell a story. My brother-in-law, Mark, who was a Navy SEAL, Mark was incredible. You know, he'd tell me all these SEAL stories about they jumped out of the airplane at 40,000 feet with scuba gear on and went to the bottom of the ocean and took a nap, boarded a ship, and took it down from the enemy and then went and had breakfast. You know, no big deal. Their makeup. It's like, the makeup of these guys, and I got to spend a lot of time with him and his team, and if the bad guys are coming after me, I want Mark. Mm-hmm. They're glued together in a way that they're going to win, right? Well, if my dog dies and I need a shoulder to cry on in the middle of the night, I'm not calling Mark. He's going to say, dude, get over it. You know, it's a dog. Let's go shoot a bunch of them. Mark he's a very loving guy. But if you need a compassionate psychiatric nurse,
he's not going to be it.
I'm calling her, right? But if the bad guys are coming at me, I'm not calling her, I'm calling Mark. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we'll send people off to do a job, or we'll trust them in a certain, you know, you have great friends that are very trustworthy, but maybe their makeup isn't the one to walk through this particular moment with you. Or mm-hmm. maybe your mom, who negated how you feel all the time when you're in pain, she's not going to be the one you call. Maybe you're going to find somebody in that context with a different makeup, because how we're glued together. If you go to 2 Peter 1, it says, if you're going to be fruitful, add to your faith moral excellence. Because mm-hmm. if somebody's lying, cheating, and stealing, you can't trust them. Mm-hmm. But past that, it says other qualities like perseverance and self-control. Can you trust that person to not lose their temper in that first mm-hmm. family meeting? Mm-hmm. Perseverance, self-control, mutual affection. Can they establish really mutuality in a relationship? So all these other things about makeup are very, very important.
It's wonderful. We're going to keep talking about this incredible topic of trust. And one of the quotes you say in the book is, when trust breaks down, so does our ability to move forward. And I know that some of our callers that we have on hold right now, that's where they're at right now. We're going to help them after this. And we're looking forward to it. We'll see you in a minute.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are going to go straight to the calls, and we're going to talk with Lewis, who's calling us from Manchester, New Hampshire, listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Lewis. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
Hello, everybody, and I appreciate you taking my call. Well, you know, I travel all the roads of New England and New York, et cetera, and I listen to you guys all the time. And as I'm listening to Dr. Cloud talk a while ago about trust, you know, all these past emotions and current emotions flow through, and I just need that, and I need to have a clue as to how to overcome my trust issues with specifically in relationships with females, including my mother, which is the big one. I'm a caretaker for her currently and have been for the last 3 or 4 years. And, she was undiagnosed with bipolar, and she really did a lot of damage. So I am shy from even trusting her anymore. And as far as relationships go, I haven't had a relationship in years. Yes, sir.
Sure. If I can hop in for just a second, I want to highlight something that we just said, that you just said, that's true for all of us. When you said, I can't trust you anymore. Look, trust is not always positive. It sounds like you can trust her to be unstable.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Correct. Correct.
Okay, so let's start. We're never going to resolve a situation if we're not starting with a firm stand on reality. Because we can trust everybody to do certain things. Trust is about, you know, being able to know what we can depend on. I used to have 2 German Shepherds, Bonnie and Clyde, and Bonnie was a sweetheart. And you know, pretty much lick anybody that was standing there until they showed otherwise. And Clyde was going to go after anybody but until they showed otherwise, right? I would go to outside lunches, you know, at the mall over by our office. I could take Bonnie to lunch, and we'd sit there, and she'd be lying on the, you know, floor outside, and people walk by and come up pet her. I couldn't trust Clyde to go to lunch because I could trust him that he was going to get up and growl and, you know, until somebody proves himself safe. So
sure.
So we're going to start in these various relationships. I want you to just list, here's what I can depend on happening, that she's going to be unstable. So given that reality, now how do I need to structure my relationship with her to be able to begin trust in some other ways where they're not going to be impinged upon by that reality? That's where, you know, extreme situations. I'm not talking about your mother or, you know, people anybody love here, but I love to use the example of, if you ever saw Silence from the Lambs, you remember that movie?
I remember the movie.
Coaching the FBI. Yeah, you remember. So they're going to Hannibal Lecter. They can trust Hannibal Lecter to give them the information on how to catch a serial killer. But they had to have the guy in the cage in order.
Good illustration.
Correct. Sometimes, I want to work it out with a difficult spouse or family member, but I got to find a safe. We got to be in ICU when I open up this one, right? We just can't do it in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I understand that for sure. It's you know, mother and other and past relationships, and even myself. Being untrustworthy. I guess, you know, because I'm human, but I think it all stems back down to my relationships in the past, you know, with females, girlfriends, my ex-wife, my wife at the time, my mom recently over the last 4 years or so. And I look back and go, you know, is it even worth the possible mistrust to even start a relationship?
But Lewis, let me jump in here, man, because what these, we talked actually in a previous show, but we talked about how experience shapes us. Now, what I want you to know is that pain produces fear. And fear globalizes, it generalizes. Right, it lays down this very carpet bombing template of like so you're carrying around inside of you a message that women are untrustworthy based on very specific and small sample size of people, but in your life it's not a small sample size. What we're leading to this is, you said, I wanted to know how to overcome the trust issues. And what Henry is saying and leading us to is that, okay, let's name the issues. For instance, your mom has shown up in a very particular way over a long period of time, and now it's time for you to trust and set your expectations to that reality that he's talking about. But a little quick story about myself. Before I got into recovery from my own addictive issues, I was a general sinner with general sin. Therefore, I got a very general savior and a very general redemption. Okay?
Oh, that's good.
But when I got into recovery, I discovered I was a very specific sinner. With specific sin that had specific consequences, and therefore I needed a specific savior with a specific salvation and redemption. It's in the details. And this sounds kind of weird, but fear makes us lazy. And the laziness of it is that we can just generalize. But recovery and growth take work. And the work is getting into the details. I often say it like this: hey, if the devil's in the details, so is God. So get in the details.
I love that. Well, so the one question
just play that last 1 minute.
I know.
Again? I mean, that was gold, man. I'm telling you, that's my new favorite line. I was a general sinner, so I got a general savior.
That's right. That's right. Well, and you know,
the Bible says about the specificity, Chris. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says that God's word is a sword. It's a knife. It's a scalpel, and it can get very not general, but very specific to get down in between. And when we get into it, look at the little in betweens. Well, maybe it's my bitterness. Maybe it's my judgment.
That's
maybe
it.
It's my that's lack it. Of vulnerability that's underneath this. And then also, to your point, we can't see our specificity because we need the eyes of other people to see it.
Yes, for sure.
That's what we can't see ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my question. What would you suggest to Lewis for this next step of figuring these specific things out?
Well, Lewis, first of all, I would tell you that you know, you can't see this as a on-off switch. You know, you're talking about you've had difficulty with women, starting with your mother, and so obviously you got a lot of hurt, right? And you got some patterning.
Sure.
And you're saying, how can I trust women? Well, first of all, exactly like Chris said, there's a few specific things that you need from women, okay? And they're not in romantic relationships.
No, absolutely.
Hear me on.
I understand. Yes, sir.
We don't let children date. We don't let children get married. We have a mother and other caretakers who specifically give them maternal care that's empathic, that's loving, that's listening, that's encouraging, it's empowering. All the things that aspect of the image of God does, he's put it in men and women, but there's also something about women that as you know, gets generalized in all of this. So you've got to find some mothers. Now hear me on this. Jesus said, when told,
your mother and brother and sisters are waiting on you. He said, wait, who is my mother and brother and sisters? Those who do, and literally the Greek there is those who do the things that God wants them to do. Mm. The desires, the will of God. So my mother now is going to be my, not my biological, but my spiritual, who show up and give me the mothering, as Paul said, he came up, you know, this is through the New Testament. So I don't want you to start trusting women in a romantic context. You're, the kid inside of you is not old enough to date yet.
Mm. Okay.
You've got to go sit in preschool with some mothers that you're not going to swap spit with. All right,
you know, and it's not this. The whole romantic,
and that's going to build a muscle in order for you to pick the ones that you do want to smooch later. And so you can't get the cart before the horse here.
No, I understand, and I gotta at least have the cart and or the horse or both of them together. I mean, I've got to the point where I don't even look. I just keep in my own little world. I do my own little thing. I take care of my mom, I walk with my dog,
still,
I do my job.
Still, hold on a second. You're still just talking about romance. I don't even look. Hey, we're not even talking about anything like that. We're talking about getting in a very safe support group and a very safe, maybe therapeutic relationship that you begin to understand female love that can happen with your clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the romantic direction, and that's where it's got to be. You know, I'd say the same thing to women. You got to find men to heal from your father wounds that you're not going to date or be romantically involved with.
Correct. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So, Lewis, I want you to have this term ingrained in your head and then in your heart. What you need is non-sexual intimacy. You need closeness that is not going to be sexualized one way or the other, but that's going to meet specific relational needs in your life that will restore that ability to trust, because you'll have trustworthy experiences and it won't get interfered with the drug-like effects that tend to hijack it through a sexual experience.
Through a sexual experience.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah, no, I like that a lot. And
go ahead.
And I've been celibate for several years, shall we say?
Yeah.
So I'm.
Wait a minute.
That's not even really.
Stop.
Yeah.
You've been celibate, but you haven't been nurtured in your celibacy.
I'll take it one step further. Lewis, you've been relationally anorexic. That's different than celibate.
I like it.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I want you to move out of your connection anorexia and I want you to get good relational nourishment that isn't messed up with the drug of sex.
I got it. I like it.
There you go. All right, well, you find a place to do that and find a place that's structured and very safe to begin with. And maybe, I don't know, maybe they need to, put you in an ICU here with...
Well, and I know I keep saying every man's battle, we're going to start, it starts today, but I just think that could be a place for Lewis to begin, because we do talk about the relational aspects, the things that break down intimacy in relationships, and I think that's what gets so misconstrued. We turn to other things as opposed to true, solid relationships. Lewis, we're going to send you a copy of Henry's book, Trust, and we'll get you connected with a life recovery group in your area or a counselor or both, because it is the way forward. You guys, I have notes from that whole call. We'll just have to repeat it and hear more wisdom from the two of you. When we get back, we'll continue to talk about the issue of trust what breaks it, what can we do to restore it, and how it impacts every part of our lives, whether it's in relationships or business. Just like you said earlier here, Henry, about just breathing. You know, we trust that we can breathe, and it That's creates right. for a better life. And we want people to have that experience in all parts of their lives. We'll be right back after this break.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Man, that was such a good call. I mean, I learned so much. I know the audience did. And you guys were just helping Lewis in so many ways. And, you know, that's what we do here at New Life. We want to help people in all different parts of their lives. And we do it through the gifts and the donations of so many people. Our Club New Life family, who is our monthly giving program, they make it possible for us to do what we do. And I just want to say a big thank you. But I also want to encourage you, if you've never given a New Life, maybe today's the day. And like I said earlier, we will give you a copy of Henry's book for a gift of any amount. And not only will it bless someone else, but it'll bless you because you'll get smarter after you read the book. You know, I want to go back to just that concept of learning to trust. And, you know, I think so many people want it just to be easy, like it should just happen. And especially when, you know, when there's been a pain point, it would be nice if people could just play nice and be trustworthy. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work that way, does it?
No, unfortunately not. You know,
and there are things that interfere with that.
Well, think about it. What in life that has any value is easy?
Right.
Name one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we all want to have, you know, we want to be fruitful in our work, in our careers. Well, I don't know many people that did that by sitting on a couch with a remote control. I don't know a great athlete that didn't, as Tiger Woods says, work it out in the dirt.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody that's got a good marriage that doesn't have, you can count the specific activities that they do to build mm-hmm. that marriage. And so when we want something of value, the fact that it has value means that it is going to take investment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, you know, we go back to original sin. What did Satan offer? Immediate wisdom.
Right.
You can be, that's, you know, yep, call 1-800 and take this supplement. It's hanging on a tree and you can lose 100 pounds.
Yeah.
And people fall for it every day, every single day. And the get whatever quick trip is the longest trip you'll ever take.
Yeah. Well, and I'm looking at it as, you know, Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, my goodness, what you need to know about human anthropology, you can find there. But what you need to know about the key components of it is that it has become clear to me that people flourish at the intersection of great relating and great creating. And that is exactly how we reflect the image of God. That is our image-bearing task, is great relating and great creating. Both of those require investment. We like to use the word agency. I like to just say agency is the ability to make something of myself and something of the world around me. And obviously, as people of faith, we know that that agency is phenomenally limited to our own limitations as well as sin apart from God. And when we enter into this relationship, that agency increases the ability to connect well and create well.
That's right.
But to Henry's point, into the wisdom that we're learning through all of these years, and that is ancient and current, is that there are ingredients to this flourishing. And God has called us to flourish in these particular ways. And it is, what I want to do is, like, the work is itself can be really satisfying. Yes, it can be hard. Yes, it can be risky. There are no guarantees, but when we, to use the agrarian example, when we create good soil, good fruit can't help but happen.
Mm. That's good.
And that's what we want to get to.
Right.
And the ingredients in that soil, as well as the toxins, are fairly specific, and we just want to know what those are.
I love that. Well, we're going to...
Yeah, Chris, I love that. If I can say one thing here, Becky.
Yes,
that,
you can.
Well, you're talking about that, you know, the creating and the you know, connection and relating that's got to go with that. I always tell people that, look, you know, everybody says, well, you can't make money without money. Well, that's not true. 90% of the wealth that is created in America, people started from nothing, but mm-hmm. where did they get the money? Well, they used other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
They brought something of value and they got an investment from somebody and they built a business, for example.
Yes.
And I always tell people, look, you only start in life, every human starts with really only two things. You come into the world and you have a certain amount of moments that are allocated to you. We call that time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Moments turn into minutes, turn into hours, turn into days, turn into weeks, turn into months, and that builds a lifetime. So you have a certain amount of time. The second thing you come into the world with is a certain amount of energy.
Yes.
The energy of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it is the investment of your heart and your mind and your soul and the strength in particular moments when you show up to a group, when you enter into a difficult conversation and invest your heart and mind in that moment. And when you go practice this in larger and larger contexts, that's how you're building a life, the investment of your heart, mind, soul, and strength in moments only through vulnerability and taking appropriate little risks.
I love that. Well, we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to caller Jill, who watches us on YouTube. I'm so grateful for our YouTube family. You know that I watch there when I'm not on the program. And if you will like it and subscribe, that'll help get the word out. We'll be right back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Like I said before the break, we are going to go to Jill, who's calling us from Huntington Beach, California, watches us on YouTube. Hi, Jill. Thanks for waiting. How can we help you today?
Hi. Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for New Life. I've been a Club New Life member for several years now. I've gained so much wisdom from everybody on the show, and I enjoy my New Life family online through YouTube. We always have nice chats also on YouTube, so people should join that because it's a great community also.
Well, thanks, Jill, for the commercial. How can we help you?
You're welcome. So the trust issue I have is with myself. I feel like I've made so many mistakes throughout my life. I'm in my late 60s at this point. So what I would love to do is to be able to develop better trust in myself so that moving forward, I can, for one, make better decisions for myself. And then in the long run, also because so many people have kind of abused my trust, I don't trust a lot of people. And so I would like to learn as well, and was hoping through the book that I could learn how to trust people in the future, coming future. So there you go. Simple question.
That's great. Jill, Henry, you want to start?
Oh, I thought Chris was...
well, we can let Chris start.
I don't mind. I could jump right in. So, Jill.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jill, it sounds to me like the first thing you're missing... I'll say this. A while ago, I learned something from some really wise people, and that was... For transformation to really occur, we need three essential ingredients. One is grace, one is truth, and one is time. And one thing that I think is missing from your own story is grace. And grace starts, the first movement of grace is acceptance. And that's why it goes so well with truth. And so when we make a mistake and we are not met, make a poor choice, and we're not met with grace, that poor choice then grows. It ultimately turns into a pattern, or it can turn into a belief about myself. You know, I'm bad, okay. I'm wrong, so we got to really pay attention to the way what we believe about ourselves. I am what? And usually that is a statement so far away from God's grace, but we've attached to it too strongly. And so when we go back and if we can take what I call a third eye, meaning like a third person approach to ourselves and start to apply saying like it's acceptance. We don't have to agree with it. We don't even have to like it, but we're just saying it is and I'm okay, but I want to see exactly what that was. And when we gain that empathy, again, that Henry does a great job talking about in the book, we can then see truth more clearly and enter into forgiveness and restoration. And so you're not your mistakes. Your mistakes are just things to grow from. But they've become a little bit too identified with who you are.
Yeah, I understand that. I used to beat myself up pretty well for the mistakes I made, and I finally have been able to realize, okay, yeah, you made a mistake, so stop beating yourself up, because I was very good at that.
Jill, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
You said you used to beat yourself up for your mistakes. Who's in your history, whose face is on that statement, beating yourself up, beating you up for mistakes?
So, I don't know what happened, but she might call back. But go ahead with that illustration.
Because, you know, to Henry's point about we learn these behaviors over time, we adopt these things that were shown to us, especially in our early life, is that somehow my guess is that Jill got beat up for her mistakes. And then she adopted that as her own default system. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's going to be untrustworthy. This is painful. And so by looking at that and recovering from that, letting God's grace do its work, letting our work do its work of seeking and receiving forgiveness as well as repairing, then moving on.
Okay, Jill is back.
You know, one
we
of
get
the
her back.
That,
go ahead, Henry.
Really
no,
things,
go ahead.
If we just zero on that, you know, beating yourself up thing, well, first of all, that's a human condition. I mean, the Bible says we are born under the law. And C.S. Lewis said one time, you know, that everybody has a sense of oughtness, no matter what faith you're in. I mean, he says you take somebody says they're tolerant, and they say they're tolerant, but go punch them in the nose, he said, and you'll find out that they're not really 100% tolerant, right? Because everybody knows we have some standard of how things ought to be. And when they're not, then they're judged under wrath. I mean, that's the ontological reality of the universe, and Christians and non-Christians alike are born with that. That's why we judge each other and judge ourselves. But we'll often talk, and we need to, about, you know, God's grace entering into that, and it's very important to steep ourselves in our relationship with Him to see what He says about your mistakes. I mean, look what He did with Peter. He told Peter, before he made the mistake, you will deny me three times. But then he said this, after you have returned, you'll become a source of strength for many. So God expects the mistakes, but He's taken us somewhere where we can use our mistakes to help others later. Okay? But oftentimes, here's what Christians do. they're going to memorize and learn how God forgives them, right, through his grace. But through confession, 1 John 1:9, confess your sins to God, right, and confess, and he'll forgive you and cleanse you and all this. But they don't go the other half of the gospel. We have an incarnational gospel that's directly with God spiritually, but incarnational in relationship with humans. And it says, this is fascinating to me, it says in James 5:16, confess your faults to one another so that you may be, what? It doesn't say forgiven. You're already forgiven.
Yeah.
Confess your faults to one another so that you may be healed.
Yeah.
It's been And to be healed from that internal judgment and for that voice to change from critical to, like, when somebody goes in a recovery movement and says, I'm Henry, I'm a whateveraholic, they go, hi, Henry, we're glad you're here. Nothing has changed yet. I'm already accepted, but now I can feel it through the connection, and as I talked about in the book, the mirror neurons that we're internalizing from other people's compassion, as 1 Peter 4:10 says, that when we use our gifts with one another, we are administering the grace of God in its various forms.
So good.
Through the one another. So that's why it can't just be vertical.
I love that. You know, just what you just said, Henry, about going into those groups, so many people want it to be easy. They want it to be something other than a group. They want it to be something other than relational. And so, Jill, in your question of how can I learn to trust myself, we want it to be an inside job, and part of it is, but it's also has to be externalized. And I think, what would you guys say, what would be some step 1 and 2, 3, 4, 12 that Jill can start in that direction of learning to trust herself again? 16. Well, no, Jill, there's only 12.
Well, I'm going to tell you a quick story. One time years ago, there's a couple of parts of this that are important for all of it. Years ago, I had a colossal failure in a business situation where I trusted somebody and hadn't watched it really closely, and then found out everything he was telling me was wrong. And we found out, and then went in there with gazillions of dollars upside down. And he gave me the picture that is the opposite. And I remember, and so, you know, obviously had to part ways, but I remember I was feeling like, I'm such an idiot. I am such an idiot. How did I get myself in this mess? I should have watched him closer. I should have blah, blah. And I was feeling like the worst person in the world. I'm at home. I'm out on my patio. I'm praying, and how am I going to get out of this mess? Right then, one of my lifelong business mentors called me, and he's been mentoring me since I was in my 20s. He's about 20 years older than me. And he called me, and I thought, well, this is the last person I want to talk to right now. I have failed miserably in everything he ever taught me. And I pick up the phone, he said, so how's it going? Well, this is a moment of risk, right? I can say, oh, yeah, great. Or I can say, well, not so great. And I told him, and I got it out. And then there was silence on the phone when I told him the story and what I'd done. I'm sitting there waiting for the, how could you idiot, after all you? And I'm waiting for the voice that matches the one in my head. And he says, well, we've all been there.
And I'm, yeah.
He goes, yeah, anybody's ever done anything's made that mistake, but once you won't make it again. And all of a sudden, I was different. Because the grace of God came to me through my mentor. And all of a sudden, I probably experienced what Peter experienced on the beach, where even though I made the mistake, there was a future, and he didn't look at me that way.
I love it. I love it. That is our hope. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We were talking with Jill, and we're going to give her some next steps. I just want to give a shout out to all of you who are listening on the podcast or you listening on the app. I'm just grateful that you are there, and maybe you can share that with a friend or two, and this show would be great. You can just say, hey, there are these experts that were talking about trust. Everybody needs to know about it, and pass it along. But Jill, we were talking about just some next steps that you can take to recreate or build the trust in yourself. Chris, you want to go ahead and start?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. Obviously, Bill, Joe, we're going to send you a copy of Henry's book, Trust. And so obviously you're going to read through that. It's going to be incredibly helpful. The insight is going to provide you with great direction. I'm going to suggest you attend our Emotional Freedom Workshop. It's online. It's April 15th. And what that allows you to do is really enter into the specifics of your story and how you ended up where you are. You know, me and the other presenters, we do our darndest best to provide the best information. But let me tell you what the secret sauce is. The secret sauce is actually in the group experience. You're going to get into an actual experience of exactly what Henry was talking about, and that is a really positive, freeing, and relieving Me Too moment with other people. And then with that, I want you to start, the third thing is I just want you to start identifying what I call the exceptions. The exceptions are, you know, again, we get focused on the problem, like all these untrustworthy people. I want you, as you're going through Henry's book, to start identifying specific people with those specific attributes to say that this part of this person is really trustworthy, and I can start to begin, again, I love what Henry was talking about, incrementally, bit by bit, trusting these other people. As well as I'm incorporating trustworthy aspects into my own life, I can start trusting myself again, bit by bit.
I love that. Henry, would you add any steps or anything for Jill to do to learn to trust herself again after making poor choices?
Oh, gosh. I'd reiterate with Chris. If you go to the book and you look at those five things, and you look at, you know, understanding, like, how much am I making sure that the people I trust really understand me? And I mean, just go to dinner sometime, and after dinner with that person, say, how many moments were there where they were listening and really trying to understand my experience and what I'm talking about? Or is what I'm talking about just a cue for them to immediately say, oh yeah, I had that happen to me, and then it flips back over to them? I mean, just take these steps and make them very actionable. And one of the things that I talk about a lot with people, if you want to grow in having your relationships deeper from your side of what you can do, in the next conversation, make sure that you're listening 51% of the time.
That's really good.
In the listening,
I love it.
Take what they're saying to the next step. Instead of, now it's your turn, it's in a tennis match where you hit it back with something about you. When they say that, say, well, what was that like for you? How'd that make you feel? What'd you do after that? Or something. See, trust begins to build when we feel like the other person is going to sit in my chair for a while and really capture me. And so I just want you... First thing, it's just like the book said, that's the first step. I can't trust somebody if I don't feel like they're getting me. How many times has somebody walked out of a counseling situation or a conversation with a boss or somebody walk out and they go, friend goes, how'd it go? And well, they didn't get it. Well, they didn't get it. And I'm going to trust people to get me.
I love that too.
Well, it also speaks, Henry, to, you know, just that idea of we can't trust ourselves when we don't even understand ourselves. We don't even know what we're missing or what we need. And I think when we sit in those relationships where we can be curious and start to assess, what did I think, what did I feel, you know, how did I respond, did I show up for myself? And when we've made some poor decisions, I think that's where it gets kind of muddled.
Yeah. Well, and Oh, I'm just going to say really, really quickly. I just think that there are also people out there who are thinking that this idea of a life fulfilled in trust, in building trust through very, again, difficult, painful, is not for me. It's for somebody else. Or like, for instance, you know, one of the chapters four talks about, you know, competency. It talks about being good at something. And that can actually be it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun as well. But that must be for somebody else. Mm. Listen, there is this verse, and it says that God himself has equipped us for all godliness. Now that equipment takes, again, what we talked about, a lot of working out. So I want to encourage people out there, if you're feeling like there are bars that are too high to overcome, they're not. They're really not. You just get into the work. As Henry was saying, actionable steps will start to convince our bodies that this is possible and that God meets us in faith when we take that step. And so keep working this out and know that he has equipped you for all godliness. And if I can go back to godliness is becoming better connectors and better creators.
I love that. Well, you know, we're winding up. Henry, we're down to about 2 minutes, but I want to give you the last word and to encourage us in this quest of trust.
Well, you guys are so awesome at pulling it all out. I go, what else am I going to say? And seriously, you've been so, you're like a little, you know, just double click on you guys and the whole world opens up, right? So, I go back to the subtitle of the book, almost as a beginning, kind of having people look at life and their history of trust and their hopeful future of trust. You know, it's called trust, but the subtitle says when to give it, when to withhold it, how to earn it, and how to fix it when it's been broken. And so if we just take those categories and say, do I give it in the right places? Or am I giving it out there to what Jesus said? Am I giving what is holy to dogs or casting my pearls before swine? He said, don't do that. And that leads us to the second one, when to withhold it. Do I know what I've got to look for that are the red flags so I withhold giving trust to somebody? And then thirdly, how to earn it. Am I being in my relationships? Here's what the research shows, that when we are trustworthy, that makes somebody else many times more trustworthy, and they trust us more. So I've got to be working on my abilities in these five areas that are going to make people invest their hearts, minds, and souls with me, because that's what I need in my life. And then fourthly, inevitably, it's going to get broken to some degree, misdemeanors and felonies. But when that happens, does it have to be over? Well, sometimes, but sometimes not. But we've got to have a map of a process of letting the process tell us when it's repairable and when it's not, and when I can go forward and when I can't, instead of just jumping into it. And then if it's going to happen, there's a process to it.
We've been so honored to have you with us, Henry. We love you, and we appreciate all that you do for so many people. It has been fun. If you want a copy of Trust, call us. For a gift of New Name Out, we'll send it to you, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Chris, for your wisdom. Thank you, listeners. We'll see you next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.